Well, hello there, people, you beautiful sons of mother lovers, and hope everybody's doing well today. But you know, I'm weird like this. I was looking through some of my old papers. I do from time to time, and I'm kind of cleaning out, whether it's like, you know, digitally or, you know, actual papers and things. I look back at just like old stuff that I wrote way back when, you know, just got to see like what I thought, you know, like I'll critique and be like, oh, damn, you know, do I still believe that? Nah, that was 19-year-old faith. Nah, I don't believe that. But it's funny, I came across a paper that I wrote when, well, it wasn't really a paper. It's more so a questionnaire than anything else. I had a fantastic philosophy teacher. And, you know, when we were talking about the Nicomachean Ethics, he had us do this little survey, and I, looking back at it, it was really interesting for me to see like some of the things that I thought. And for the most part, like I would say I still agree with the gross majority of this. And as we go through these questions, I want you to think about what your answer to them would be. Like, just think about it. It's, you know, it's rhetorical to some sense. You don't have to answer to anybody. Well, it'd be really interesting if you wanted to post on, you know, the Facebook page or anything like that when I post this out. That'd be pretty cool, because I'm really interested to see like what other people think about these things. But without further ado, number one, why is friendship important to one's happiness? Read that again. Why is friendship important to one's happiness? So the way I answered it was pretty straightforward. Friendship is important to one's happiness because friendship itself is a kind of virtue, or implies virtue. And that's from the Nicomachean Ethics, Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. My commentary on it was, we see that friends are useful in many regards. They are helpful in keeping youth, quote, open quote, keeping youth from mistakes and to the old, and caring for them and doing for them what they, through frailty, cannot do for themselves. And to those in the prime of their life, by enabling them to carry out fine achievements. End quote. Aristotle then goes on to use the example of friendship from a biological standpoint, where we see that animals that work together can achieve more. It's clear that this is the case with humans as well, since we see that, quote unquote, two heads are better than one, you know, through both intuitive, you know, and empirical evidence. When a man as in human race, man has many friends, we commend them, because true friendship is a virtue. So that's just number one right there. And honestly, looking back, I'm like, you know, it's true. Like, you know, two heads are better than one. It's like that concept is, you know, through, it's idiomatic throughout our entire language, like across, you know, cultures. You know, that's just a human thing. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, seeing true friendship as a virtue, it implies virtue, and could be a virtue in and of itself. So I thought that was pretty neat. Like, I want to know what you think. We're going to go, there are 20 questions here. We're going to kind of break it down one at a time. Some a little bit shorter than others. Others a little bit more rich. Put it that way. Like a rich chocolate cake with dark chocolate. All right. I'm a fan. I'm going to stop. Bring it back. I'm over here picturing chocolate cake. So, what are three possible objects of affection, right? So, again, that's pretty straightforward. Aristotle answers this in the following way. Our three possible objects of affection are the pleasant, the good, and the useful. If we define useful as productive of some good or pleasure, right? So, like, those are, you know, the three types of ways, right? There's affection, you know, it's pleasant, it's good, or it's useful, right? So in order to characterize, which is the next question here, in order to characterize friendship, we're going to break it down into the different types of friendships that we have, right? So the first one is the friendship on based on utility, right? So what is that? You know, what is a friendship based on utility? Friendship based on utility is an accidental one, right? So this type of friendship occurs simply because one and slash or both parties have some beneficial attribute. The friendship exists solely because one party stands to gain. We see that love in the friendship is not a love due to the party's actual nature, but on how useful they are. In such a friendship, the parties involved may not even like each other and only associate with one another when the other party may be useful. This type of friendship is often short-lived. Right? So that's the first kind of friendship. Yeah, I'm talking to my millennials. I'm talking to y'all. You guys know. It's crazy how flaky people are. But at the same time, when you do find someone who doesn't see you in that relationship, doesn't see you in that regard, it's beautiful. But people, you gotta cut these out. That's something that after looking back at this, I was like, you know, yeah, I can think of a few. I can think of times when I've been the user. I've been on both sides of that. And I was like, yeah, that was not a good friendship. And of course, so I'm sure you would agree, it was short-lived. So just cutting that out altogether, man. Like it'll make for a happier life. A happy, much, much, much happier life. So second characteristic of, you know, friendship, second type of friendship rather, which leads us to question number 4, characterize the friendship based on pleasure. It's very similar to friendship based on utility. You see that this friendship is also accidental. The love and the friendship is due to one's own pleasure. The friendship exists solely as a result of gaining these pleasures. The friendship is not a product of love based on the person's nature. This type of friendship is more prevalent with our younger crowd because they are usually more governed by their feelings. We see that such friendships are formed and ended easily since what pleases people, namely young people, changes. And again, these are my words, people. This is Aristotle. I agree strongly, but that's how he words it. I strongly agree with this. You know, maybe not everyone agrees, but I'm sure that you can think of at least one instance where this was the case. I mean, we have a murderer, it's friends with benefits. Like, come on. Like, that's a thing. It's definitely a thing. So this right here, number 5 is the next question. And after this one, we'll take a wee little break and come back. We are going to hear from one of our sponsors, Your Food Supplies. You know, whatever you need. That ethnic food, bring it right to your door. Right to your door. All right. So number 5, what is the perfect friendship and who can participate in it? So that one's a bit more loaded. It's a bit heavier, right? What is a perfect friendship and who can participate in it? So the way that I interpreted Aristotle's answer to this, which I strongly agree with, this is the case I'm making. The perfect friendship involves two parties that are both good. Both parties wish good for the other qua good, which is to say for itself. You know, they wish good for their friends for the sake of the friends, for said friend, rather. They are both useful and good for each other because they are both absolutely good. They also please one another since they are pleased by being and seeing good. We see here that the quote unquote perfect friendship has the components of friendship based on utility and pleasure. However, it is evident that the use and pleasures involved with the perfect friendship are very different from those involved with the friendship based on utility and pleasure. Namely, that we find that the use and pleasure derived from the friendship is accidental. It's an accidental feature of the friendship, not the other way around, as we see in the case of friendships based on utility and pleasure, right? And furthermore, we see that these friendships are much, much more permanent, or at least long-lasting, right? So again, like the friendship, it's not accidental if some use or pleasure that you're getting from that person, the use and pleasure that you're getting from that person is an accidental feature of being friends with that person, because you care for that person, because you love that person, you wish good things upon this person for that person's sake, so that they can live a better life, so that they can enjoy life more, so that they can be more successful and happier and enjoy and, you know, reach their goals and, you know, live their dream life. The pleasure and use from that is accidental, not the other way around. So we're going to take a wee little break. I've been checking out SoundCloud, man. If you guys don't ever check that out, man, there are some awesome tunes on there. Like, I don't know who these people are, but yeah, listen to this girl, man. Employment, but owner super cool. Seriously though, check it out, guys. Using SAP solutions in technology to streamline and bringing it to the little guy, helping out our local business owners in the ethnic foods department. You know, we got Indian restaurants, helping out the African restaurants, helping out the Hispanic restaurants, helping out the European restaurants, making sure that these folks are taken care of as well. Check it out, folks, yourfoodsupply.com. That's yourfoodsupply.com. Feelings and whatnot. But we're gonna dive right back in. So number six, the sixth question: why is friendship in the truest sense said to be a state rather than an affection? My response: this is the case because a friendship, when regarded as a state, can account for distance between friends. It's evident that two friends remain friends while asleep or separated by distance. Also, we see that when people wish good for the people they love, they do it from a moral state. Friendship cannot be affection because we see that the same affection can be shown to inanimate objects, and mutual affection involves choice. So that, again, like, I'm going to break that down a little bit. It wasn't exactly clear, but the point I'm trying to make there is that, you know, when you're in a state of friendship, it doesn't matter what happens, right? Whether you're asleep, whether you're far away. I mean, I have friends. I mean, like my guy, Logan. I'm not going to put his last name out there. But we went to school together. And we didn't see each other for like 2, maybe 3 years. Calls me up. It's like, hey, man, what are you doing? I was going to come by and see you. Hung out for a while. It was just like old times. It's been 3 years. Ended up inviting me to be a groomsman at his wedding. That is true friendship. You know, it didn't matter how long he was living in Pennsylvania at the time. It didn't matter how far away we were. We're still great friends, and that doesn't change, right? I can love my car, but that's an affection. I'm not in a state of being in love with my car, right? So that's pretty much all that point's making. Moving on to number seven. Why is it difficult to have many perfect friendships? That's an interesting one, right? Because, I mean, again, like we said earlier, it's a virtue to have many friends, right? But what kind of friendships are those relationships, right? So my response, again, it's difficult to have many perfect friendships because this type of friendship entails getting to know the other party very well and becoming very intimate with him or her. a task that is difficult and takes time, right? Time's usually the determining factor. And of course, like, if you enjoy the person's company, obviously, and all of the other things that make for a great friendship, you actually connect with the person. But Aristotle also makes the comparison to being in love. You know, here we see that it's difficult to love more than one person, although it may be easy to love many when the basis is utility. So to truly be in love with one person, it would be challenging, at least, not going to say impossible, but it'd be challenging to be in love in the same way with another person because of the, again, the time factor, how much investment you're making in this person emotionally and, you know, with your brain space, with your psychic energy. Number 8, what does Aristotle mean by the claim that friendship between unequals, the affection must be proportionate? This is one where, like, I kind of I jump off the bandwagon. Aristotle means that the affection in a friendship should be based on merit. Namely, the person in the friendship that is superior should be loved more than he or she loves. And that right there, I just think, is completely off balance. That's, I don't think it's possible to have a long-lasting, true friendship if it's unequal. If one person gives more than the other, more often than the other, eventually that friendship's gonna end. So that one is part of when I was like, nah, I'm not on that. I'm not with that. But number 9 is, why is loving more important than being loved? And that one is a big one for me. I'm a lover and a fighter. I am capable of fighting. I choose not to, but definitely a lover. Yeah. And to me, I think loving is more important than being loved, because one can be content simply by giving affection, as seen in mothers who give up their children, right? So let's say a woman has a kid out of a bad situation and she is not in a position to provide for that kid and love and give that kid what he or she needs to grow up to be a productive adult, right? So they are content with loving their children, knowing that they are going to be raised well, although their love may never be reciprocated due to ignorance, you know? So we see that in this case, loving is the key virtue of the friendship, right? So it's giving love, knowing that this kid is going to be in good hands and that this is what is best for them. I'm wishing the best for this child, not based on my emotions and what I feel. And I want to be loved by this kid, and the fact that I want this kid to show affection towards me. I'm content in loving this kid enough to give him or her away, right? Number 10 is, what are the grounds for dissolving a friendship, and how should one behave toward former friends? So this one, we're just going to use person A and person B. Person A may dissolve a friendship with person B if person A finds that person B's affection for person A was not based on person A's character, but on some utility or pleasure. Person A may also dissolve a friendship if person A thought person B to be good, but person B turned out to be a villain. Since we are not to love anything that is bad, person A would be justified in dissolving the friendship in this scenario. Pretty straightforward, right? You know, turns out you thought someone was something they're not, or something else. Hey, you know what? I'm not on board with that. We can't be friends, right? And as far as how one should act towards former friends, you know, it's like, well, you can keep the memory of the former intimacy. You know, one should treat former friends with favor, given the severance of the friendship was not due to excessive wickedness on their part. They say no hard feelings, right? You know, like, hey, you know, you seem cool, you seem like a nice person, but we can't be friends. Unless they did something crazy, then in which case, then, you know, fuck. Number 12, why is existence especially good for the good person, right? So existence is especially good for the good person because the good person likes his own company, because he enjoys being by himself or herself, since he has entertaining memories of the past and good hopes for the future. These afford him pleasure, right? So that's Aristotle right there. But again, I strongly agree with that. You know, if you can look in the mirror and say, like, you know what, I like who I am. You can go to bed at night smiling, excited about what you did that day. Hey, kudos to you, man. Awesome. That's you're going to enjoy life a lot more than if you're grimacing about whatever that's happening or this and the third. And he said, she said, and all this other nonsense. But moving on to number 13. So what are the truths underlying the claim that, quote unquote, bad men are full of regrets? Right. So this is the counterpart of, you know, why does the good man enjoy his own company? Why is the good life particularly good for the good man, right? So bad men are full of regrets because they are at conflicts with themselves. They act like the incontinent where they know that the right path, where they know the right path, but choose not to follow it in pursuit of personal gain. One part of their soul feels pain in abstaining from some things, while another feels pleasure, thus partaking in an action that brings pleasure to one part, but man will regret partaking in that action as it is associated with pain in other parts of his soul, right? So that's what we call dissonance, right? Cognitive dissonance. You believe one thing, but you choose to do the other. It's like, it messes with you. It's hard to live that way. It's hard to think that way. It's, you know, it's a challenging way to live. And I've had parts of my life where I felt that way. And I was like, God damn it, should I do that? Screw it. All right, let's do it. You know, so like, it's not something that's necessarily saying you're ultimately good or ultimately bad. I feel like it's like the yin and yang, right? We all have these parts within us. And the more we acknowledge them and pay attention to them and accept them, the more we can be in control of how we react in certain situations and take control of our lives. Number 14 is, how is goodwill distinguished from friendship? So I'm going to read that again because I kind of stumbled on that one. How is goodwill distinguished from friendship? Right? Goodwill is in the Good Samaritan, you know, just doing a good deed. So the way we distinguish goodwill from friendship is by the lack of acquaintance, right? So goodwill can be felt for people that one does not know or will ever know, but friendship cannot, right? I cannot be your friend without having ever met you. I can't call you up on the first time that I meet you and ask you to come help me move my couch. That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Of course you want to wish goodwill upon people that you don't know, obviously. But it's not a friendship, right? A friendship could be built on goodwill, but there is definitely a difference there. All right, so number 15 is the last one we're going to do before we take a quick little break. Quick little break. Why is there concord between good persons, right? That sweet, sweet harmony when you meet the one. So my answer, there's concord between good people because they generally have the same outlook, right? Goals, values are aligned. They want good for themselves and others. They wish for what is just and advantageous and also pursue these objects in common. So it goes back to, you know, two heads are better than one. More hands make for lighter work. If we're all on the same page, we're all rowing in the same direction at the same pace, we're flowing. We're moving. We're good. We're groovy. Everything is good over here. It's all good, Chief. It's fantastic. It's awesome, right? So that's why this conquer between good persons. And again, when we use these terms, good persons, the villain, that's not like saying that a person's either good or a villain. It's saying these are ideal situations. It's more of a thought experiment to kind of shine some light on what we see as either good or evil. But yeah, we're going to take a wee little break. And when we come back, we're going to finish out the set. We have 5 more questions to go. And again, like, I really am curious about how people think about these things. Like, I was kind of blown aback when I looked back at this. And I was like, huh, that is actually really interesting. You know, when you're in school.
You're now listening to Dance of the Bangar Productions.
looking back at it, this is an awesome question.
We'll be back.
Are the conditions for concord in a state? And we already talked about concord, right? It's just when things are moving smoothly, things are in agreement, that, you know, it seems to be pretty straightforward. We can unpack that further, but I don't think we need to. So there's concord in a state when the citizens agree about their interests, adopt the same policy, and put their common resolve into effect. So an example of this, you know, is where we see a leader is nominated to rule at a time when he or she wants to rule, right? So all the actions, things are kind of falling into place, if you want to use that idiom to better elucidate the meaning from that. But moving on, this is so we get a little bit clearer on terms. 17, why are the benefactors more loving than the beneficiaries? So, again, my response, benefactors are said to be more loving than beneficiaries because the benefactors expect some gratitude in return, while the beneficiaries are not concerned to pay them. The example of a creditor and a debtor is used to clarify the term. We see that creditors care about the debtors because there's some sort of investment in them. Namely, they expect something in return. In the case of benefactors, it's an expression of gratitude. However, we also find that debtors wish their creditors out of the way. Then follows that benefactors are more loving than beneficiaries. So, I mean, you can look at that two ways, right? It's like, in order to, you know, invest in someone else, you're like, yeah, you know, you're more invested in that relationship. But looking back at this, I wouldn't say you're more loving than them, you know what I mean? Like, that's just because, like, the mere fact that you're expecting something in return, that automatically, you know, rules it out of the realm of love. Like, if you're expecting something out of your good action, then you're not doing it for the good in of the good in, for itself. Like, you know, so like, you're not doing it for the good in and of itself. You know, so there's some type of expectation of return in one kind or another. So for me, like, either way, like, you're not actually loving there. You're expecting something in return. Now, I would say, though, that benefactors in a different light do love more than beneficiaries because they're the one giving. Now, if a benefactor is giving without expectation, you know, you're the one pouring your time, your love, your, you know, financial investment, whatever it may be, you're giving to the beneficiaries. And as we talked about earlier, you know, it's in the giving that true gratification comes, right? It's not in the taking, right? You know, you could have a give take relationship, but no, the true virtue is in the giving for giving's sake, right? As in, like, we talked about the mom, the single mom example earlier. So next up, is self-love justifiable? And explain the two ways the term self-love may be understood, right? So we'll take it one piece at a time. First up, self-love is justifiable if we consider that one is to love his or her best friend the most. Aristotle makes the argument that one's best friend is the one who wishes the best for him or her for their own sake. This condition is best fulfilled by his or her attitude toward himself or herself, right? I mean, you like nobody wishes the best for you like you, at least ideally, if you have proper self-esteem, right? Furthermore, Aristotle claims that all friendly feelings for others are extensions of man's feelings for himself, right? Leading to the conclusion that self-love is justifiable. And we talk like we see this all over the place, right? You got to clean out your closet first, or you got to take care of your business first. You got to love yourself first. How are you can you love others if you don't love yourself? Some people can go as far as say all of our actions are, made selfishly. Even when we care for others, we kind of touched on this previously, but of course you should love yourself. Like what? You know what I mean? Like of course it's justifiable. If you don't love yourself, you're going to project that onto other people, making you a very unpleasant people to be around. A person rather, excuse me. But seriously, yeah, of course it's justifiable. So the two ways that we can understand self-love, in the first case rather, we can understand the term self-love as the contemporary definition of selfishness, right? So Aristotle makes the assertion that these are those who assign themselves the largest share of money, public honors, and bodily pleasure because most people have a craving for these. It's like, well, those who try to get more than their fair share of these things gratify their desires and their feelings generally, right? So that could be one way of self-love. It's like, oh, well, I love myself so much. Oh my God, just me, myself. I love myself so much. I think I should get better everything than everyone else. I mean, I don't need to earn it, but I just deserve it. That's called entitlement. It kind of stems from that. At least that's the argument that Aristotle makes here. And again, I agree with. But I mean, we can also see self-love as loving the most authoritative part of oneself and obeying it in all respects, right? So, a little example that Aristotle uses here is he makes a comparison to a state where we find that the authoritative part is considered to most truly be the state, right? So the decision-making part of you, so being disciplined, being organized, choosing to do what you want to do, that's the authoritative part of you, So it's like in a state, as in like a nation, the most authoritative part of that is really like when you think of the man, right? The most authoritative part of the American government, right? The man. What comes to mind, right? Congress, the executive branch, right? The military, big business, right? Those are the most authoritative parts of this cesspool, the government. We're not going to go into that now. That's not what this is about. But that's what you think of when you think of the man, right? Not endorsing it one way or the other, but that is truly the biggest part of what we conceive as the government, right? Same thing when it applies to the human being, like the part of us that calls the shot, for better or worse, that is who you truly are, right? So loving that part of yourself, loving that part where that's where confidence comes from, right? Loving the fact that you know that, hey, this is me, this is what I'm gonna do, this is what I enjoy doing, and yeah, I'm gonna go do it. That is true self-love, according to Aristotle again. And again, I agree. So
That was question number 18. Moving on to question number 19. So, how does friendship differ in good and bad fortune? Right? For goodness sake, what is it, for better or worse, something like that? I don't think a lot of people stay for the worst, though. my response to this is, you know, friendship is more necessary in adversity because those who are in misfortune need help and those who are fortunate need companionship. And people on whom to exercise generosity because they want to be beneficent, right? So read that again. Friendship is more necessary in adversity because those who are in misfortune need help and those who are fortunate need compassion and people on whom to exercise generosity because they want to be beneficent, right? So that's Aristotle. That's all Aristotle right there. I mean, it's a give and take. Like when you're doing really well, you're like, hey, I would like to give back. You know, you see this with athletes, celebrities, all this stuff. I would like to give back. You're looking to be of help or of use to someone else, right? And when you're in adversity, you're looking like, hey, I really wish someone would help me out, kind of a thing. So having, you know, a good friend in those times, it's mutually beneficial, right? On the other hand, friendship is more honorable in good fortune, right? Aristotle makes this claim on the grounds that those of good fortune want to share their fortune and spend their time with virtuous people, so they seek out virtuous friends, right? So it takes more for someone who's doing well, even though they want to help, to be friends with someone, right? If it's a true, perfect friendship, as we've discussed earlier, that person almost necessarily has to be virtuous, because otherwise what happens? Person gets taken advantage of, right? So to engage when you're coming from a side of fortune, right, it takes a little bit more. You have to trust a little bit more. You have to believe a little bit more that this person's not going to take advantage of me. Like, they need help, I'm going to help them out. It's going to be all good, right? We're going to go about it. It's not going to be come in expectation that I must do some XYZ. You know what I mean? So that's how I would differentiate the two. It's like, it's friendship's more necessary when in adversity or bad fortune, and it's more honorable in good fortune. It makes sense to me. Pretty straightforward. If you want to unpack that a bit more, that'd be awesome. If someone, you know, doesn't understand it or would like to, with all these questions, like I said, like, I'm really interested to see how people think about these things. Is this something that, like, is near and dear to me? I think about this literally all the time, and I talk about it with most of my close friends. So I'm really curious as to, like, how you guys see some of these things. And we come to the last question, the last one, people, number 20. And the question is, why are friends necessary for the happiness of the good man? The good man, as defined earlier, right? It's not, doesn't have to be a man. It could be a woman, you know. Someone in transition. Non-binary. I'm poking fun a little bit because I mean, like, we understand, like, humanity. Like, it's not a misogynistic thing when we say man here. That's just how it's written in old books. I am poking fun just because people are entirely too sensitive. And I'm probably going to get someone that's upset about the fact that I said that, but whatever. Friends are necessary for the happiness of the good man because a characteristic of the good man is to do things for others, right? Since it has been agreed upon that doing good things for friends is better than doing good things for strangers, then it follows that friends are necessarily good for the good man to fully receive his benefits, quote unquote, receive his benefits there. So yeah, I mean, like, you need friends, man. Like, you need friends. Like, I just looking back, like, I can think of a bunch of stuff where I was just like, God, man, like, if I didn't have like somebody in my corner, I don't know how that would have gone. I do not know how that would have gone. There's so many situations. I mean, like, when I got hit by a freaking tow truck when I was riding a motorcycle. You know, luckily I was geared up. You know, I'm fine today. I can walk and talk, can dance, still break it down, still got the moves. But for like my brother and my mom that were there literally every day taking care of me, you know, helping me clean my wounds, change my, you know, band-aids, all that stuff. Like, yeah, that's family, but that's a friendship, you know, that was like, without those people doing what they did to help me get through that situation, it would have been a lot more difficult, right? So, I mean, you need friends. Plus, like, you know, the time we spent together, just talking to each other, getting to know each other, like, because we couldn't go anywhere. But, you know, it was good. It was really good. And you need friends for that. When you're, you know, going through a divorce, or, you know, the kids are driving you crazy, or, you know, you're struggling in school and you need help, you need a good friend to be like, hey, I actually know XYZ, let's go study this, or this person can, you need good friends around you, you need good people to help you get closer and closer to your goals. That's why, you know, association's so important, and I've been learning that more and more, just between, you know, what I listen to, you know, Yervi, Clay Clark, Dr. Robert Zellner, reading, you know, Napoleon Hill, listening to Joe, Carrusco. There's a lot of great people out there, but there's one thing that I've, you know, ascertained from all of the reading and educating myself that's been going on recently. It's that your association matters. I'm not gonna say the cliche or whatever. You know what it is. I bet. Anyone who's listening to this podcast probably already knows who that is, but it's important to be careful about who you surround yourself with, because it's one of the determining factors of your happiness. So it's something to take seriously. I'm a jokester. I love joking around. I have a good time. But this is something that I take pretty seriously, and I hope you do too. Thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate you for, you know, taking the time to listen to my ramblings. I promise we're going to have some guests on here. We're still working on getting to know a little bit more about Chicago, the Chi-Town, the Windy City. No, seriously. It's beautiful out here, people. There's some really awesome people doing some awesome things. I'm just trying to figure out schedules right now. Get some of these cats on here, you know, diversify the thoughts a little bit so it's not just my thoughts. We can get some other thoughts as well. And I would like to know your thoughts. So this is going to be posted on my Facebook page. Check it out. Leave your comments below. If you're like, oh, man, this podcast sucks, you should stop making podcasts, I'd be like, cool, thanks for your feedback. If you're like, oh, man, that's actually kind of cool, I didn't really think about that. You know what? I will think about these questions today. Cool. Let me know what you think. You know? But either way, we going to leave it like we always do, people. There is strength in love and compassion. Eh? My friends, there is strength there. When you have love and compassion, you have strength. I hope everybody had a lovely Labor Day weekend. I hope everybody's enjoy this.